Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Welcome to The Savage Nation. These songs are great. They're great. They're great. I only wish that we could live in the 50s again, when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. Welcome to the Savage Nation. When the chrome was thick and the women were straight, what a nation it really was. What a great nation it was. Can we ever get it back when we have such an imposter, such a divisive, anti-American administration? Some say no, some say yes. Let me give you some examples. Let's start with something mild. And then I'm going to ask all the policemen, all people in law enforcement who listen to my program, and there must be quite a few, how in the world you could ever vote for a Democrat again. I don't understand it. And yet I happen to know for a fact that many police act like they're conservative. They have the flag on their arm. And yet when they go in that voting booth, they pull D. And they pull it only for self-interest because of their pensions and benefits. And you could say, well, all right, you know, they go where their bread is buttered. And they know that the Democrats will throw money at them. Well, let me ask you something. How can a cop ever vote for this illegitimate administration or any Democrat ever again after I read you this story? Did you know that Obama took a cop killer advocate lawyer and put him in charge of the Civil Rights Division? Did you know Debo Adebagil was confirmed yesterday on a 10-8 party line vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee, a kangaroo court run by Leaky Leahy of Vermont, a man who's never met an enemy of America he didn't love? This is the same lawyer who supported the Philadelphia police officer killer, Abu Jamal. But worse than that, the committee did not let the widow of murdered police officer Faulkner testify at the hearing. Evil, 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 evil Democrats. Evil. There's no other word. It's no longer a matter of a difference of opinion. It's a matter of evil versus good. They are evil. They are the axis of evil. The Senate panel voted to approve the cop killer's lawyer to the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ. Now, it's not bad enough that the man works for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, which put him forward for this position. It's not bad enough that this evil lawyer, Adebagil, wrote a legal brief on behalf of the Black Student Union at a Texas law school, where he argued it was appropriate to deny a white female student entry to the school on the basis of skin color. How can any white person ever vote for a Democrat again? While overseeing the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, the organization offered legal representation to Mumia Abu Jamal, the man who not only murdered police officer Denny Faulkner, but went and shot the officer in the face as he lie there begging for his life. Well, guess what's happened? The police officers of America, some of whom have brains, not all of whom have brains, some of whom have brains, are revolting. Did you hear about the FBI Agents Association revolting against the DOJ nomination of the cop killer advocate? Did you hear that the FBI agents, along with the Justice Department's career prosecutors, said enough is enough of this radical administration under Obama and Holder, who are running it like a troika? They're running America as though it's a troika. And they hate the police. They hate the police. Not only that, they're not alone. Who voted yes to appoint this anti-cop lawyer to the Department of Justice? Shame on you, Dianne Feinstein, but you never had any shame. Shame on you, Chuck Schumer, but you never had any shame. Shame on you, Dick Durbin, but you never had any shame. Shame on you, Sheldon Whitehouse, Al Franken, comedian, Amy Klobuchar, Christopher Coons, Richard Blumenthal, Maisie Hirano, Hawaii. Shame on all of you. How could any cop in your district ever vote for you? The only people who opposed this advocate for the cop killer, were the people who you think are not worthy of your vote, the Republicans on the committee. Chuck Grassley, Orrin Hatch, Jeff Sessions, Lindsey Graham, John Cornyn, Michael Lee, Ted Cruz, and Jeff Flake said no to the cop killer advocate into the Justice Department. This lawyer called the police an occupying fascist army. This lawyer, appointed by Holder, Ade Jabil, led a street campaign to denounce the policeman that Abu Jamal killed and shot in the face as he begged for his life. And they called the police an occupying fascist army. So now the FBI AA joins the National Fraternal Order of Police, Major County Sheriff's Association, National Association of Police Organizations, National Sheriff's Association, and the New Jersey State Policemen's Benevolent Association in opposing the nomination of this radical cop-hater to the Justice Department. Don't call me on this, to the Civil Rights Division. There's nothing you can say that I haven't said or I won't say better than you. There's no need to call. All you got to know is that Eric Holder is a radical who should have been impeached a long time ago. All you've got to know is the Republicans who you say you hate are the only thing standing between us and absolute chaos. If it wasn't for the few Republicans who stand up to the Democrat psychotics, we'd be living in ex-Rhodesia. It would be like Mugabe's nation in the United States of America. That's one man's opinion. Now wait. You say, I'm not a cop, what do I care? I'm too busy. Who gives a rat's, you know, what do I care? All right, well, let me give you another example of this corrupt administration. All week long, I've avoided using the O word. I saved it up for Friday. Now I have to get it out of my system or I'll be sick all weekend. Every time I hear this man speak, I go into a rage. The arrogance in his face, the demonic eyes, the eyes are looking crazier by the day. He goes into an anger, almost a change in persona that's frightening. It's something out of a mental hospital. I feel like I'm watching Svengali when he gives a speech. Listen to clip 30, which he gave less than 30 minutes ago, right now on the Savage Nation.
Even though our economy has been growing for 4 years now, even though we've been adding jobs for 4 years now, what's still true, something that was true before the financial crisis, is still true today, is that those at the very top of the economic pyramid are doing better than ever. But the average American's wages, salaries, incomes haven't risen in a very long time.
Now, here's a man, here's a liar, Barack Obama, who uses class warfare even though he knows everyone can see right through him. Who was he recently invited to the White House? It was those like Harvey Weinstein and the billionaires of Wall Street? Or was it the homeless people from the ghettos of America? Who does he hang around with? Harvey Weinstein and those at the top of the economic pyramid? Or does he go out in the streets like Mother Teresa and bring the homeless into the Lincoln bedroom? How can you believe a word this man says? Does he say, well, they all lie? Do they? Are they all as incompetent as this man? Let me give you a few other facts. The new Obama nominee for ambassador to Argentina says he's never been to the country. Noah Mamet bought this position. He bundled at least $1 million in campaign donations through Obama's two presidential election campaigns, and now he's in line to be the U.S. ambassador to Argentina. He said he's never been there. Never been there. Do you say, what? Now, in the past, it is true that large donors have been made ambassadors by other presidents, but usually they could speak the language of the country. They had some affinity for the nation. They had some reason to be selected. But Noah Mamet raised copious amounts of campaign cash for Obama, $500,000 during the 2012 campaign, and another $500,000 or more in 2008, according to data from the Center for Responsive Politics. As I say, there's nothing new about fundraisers being rewarded with posts overseas, but they usually have qualifications for directing U.S. foreign policy in the nation where they end up. But he's not alone. So Obama says he doesn't like the rich at the top of the pyramid because they're getting too rich, and yet he takes the rich, who give him money, and he makes them ambassadors. Last month, for example, another example of Obama's lies, the Obama nominee for a similar post in Norway demonstrated a lack of knowledge about that nation's political structure and said he had never been to Norway. The new ambassador to Hungary is a soap opera woman and producer and prolific Democratic fundraiser who could not tell senators what America's strategic interests are in the nation she will now be the ambassador to. Take a look at these people. Take a look at the faces of the individuals such as Mr. Tsunis. Mamet's embarrassment was enough. Never been to Argentina, haven't had the opportunity to be there, he said, ashen-faced. He said, I've traveled pretty extensively around the world, but I haven't yet had the chance to go to Argentina. Is that the only one? Oh, no. How about George Tsunis in January, who told Arizona Senator John McCain that he, too, had never visited the country where he asked to be posted? McCain said, Mr. Tsunis, have you ever been to Norway? I have not, Tsunis admitted, as he turned red on the stand. He's a Long Island hotel magnate who contributed at least $1.3 million to Obama and other demon cats. And he delivered what one Scandinavian newspaper called a faltering, incoherent performance, saying, among other things, that Norway has a president. He knew nothing about Norway. He's been picked like the idiot that he is. The low money grubbing idiot that he apparently is was picked to represent the United States in Norway. But it gets worse. Soap opera producer Colleen Bell does not know what the U.S. interests are in Hungary, yet she's the new ambassador. Max Baucus, crowned ambassador to China by Barack Obama for the money he raised, said he's no expert on the Asian nation. He doesn't know exactly what he's going to do when he gets there. Maybe he'll try the Chinese food. Maybe he'll try Hunan. Maybe he'll try Hakka. Doesn't quite know. So you say to yourself, wait a minute, what are you getting at, Savage? Well, Obama just gave a speech attacking the rich again. Obama just gave a speech attacking those at the very top of the economic pyramid, and yet he takes the money from those at the top of the pyramid and makes them ambassadors. I guess what I'm getting at is, how can any cop, how can any person who has a brain ever vote for a Democrat again? I am besides myself with understanding. It makes no sense to me. You're basically digging your own grave. You're digging your own grave because these people have one thing in mind, which is to destroy you. That's all they stand for. Good, I've gotten it out of my system. Now I can move on. So let's move on to a sterling soundbite of Nancy Pelosi, the Bugs Bunny of the Senate, because we need some Bugs Bunny music. Listen to this woman talking about immigrants in clip 29.
There is an economic argument for immigration, and it is no surprise because immigration has always been the reinvigoration of a society, of our country, by bringing their hopes, their aspirations, their optimism, their determination, their grit. Immigrants coming to our shores with their commitment to making the future better for their family, with their belief in the American dream, have been a revitalization always of our economy.
That's all, folks. That's why 30% of all inmates in federal prisons are illegal aliens. That's why illegal immigrants and immigrants in general abuse the welfare system, because they have come here with their grit and their aspirations to reinvigorate our nation. That's why MS-13 is out of control in the country. That's why cops are being shot all over the country by illegal aliens. That's why we are in such trouble. That's why, my friends, I warn you, the danger we are in. It's Friday. I realize it's Rock and Roll Friday. I realize you wanted a light show. So I'll give you something lighter. The Worship of Philip Seymour Hoffman, drug addict. I'm sick of it. He's a junkie. A selfish junkie. Instead of taking care of his children, he put a needle in his arm. Instead of going to his children on Saturday night, he went and took money out of the ATM machine and bought 50 or 70 bags of heroin. 70 bags of heroin. And wound up with a needle in his arm. I don't care how good he was in the movies. Why do you worship actors? Why do you worship those morons just because they're an actor? Why does this nation worship actors? Philip Seymour Hoffman was a junkie. But his death is being sold as a tragedy. What tragedy? The tragedy is that he was a selfish narcissist who preferred heroin over his own family. You want to talk about tragedy? How about those three kids growing up without this father? Because daddy wanted to shoot up. I'm going to talk about actor worship on the Savage Nation. Limited not to Hollywood, but to the political structure as well. Because, as you well know, there's a crossover, as there has long been, between actors and entertainers. And the celebrity worship of America has produced the worst generation of Democrat politicians ever seen in the human race. There's nobody lower than this pack of Democrats and what they are doing to this nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
God bless America. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you the real America. Not this degenerate cesspool being forced down our throats by Hollywood and this Democrat machine. Welcome back to the program. We're talking about actor worship. We're talking about the junkie who shot himself up. We're talking about the country turning him into some god. What tragedy? What tragedy, Philip Seymour Hoffman? I told you I liked his acting. It's enough already. Enough already. He's not a victim. He's a junkie. Period. A junkie who chose the needle and the drugs over his own family. Screw him. Let him cross the river Hades with the rest of the junkies. I'm sick and tired of hearing what victims they are. Russell Brand, another schmuck. Pardon me, another moron. Another moron, a recovering junkie. See, half the people in Hollywood are either recovering drunks, marijuana addicts, alcoholics, sex maniacs. Every day they're falling down drunk in the street, and they're not saying that they discovered penicillin. To get in the news, they don't say they discovered penicillin or they cured something. They tell you that they fell down drunk in the street and their behind wound up in the air, or that they were a junkie or an alcoholic. Have you seen what's going on? How the girls are becoming lower and lower and lower and lower? You take that gangly daughter of Alec Baldwin. She's not essentially beautiful. She's not essentially not beautiful. She's an average girl. So now all of a sudden they've decided to hire some moronic public relations guy. Every picture now, Instagram picture of Alec Baldwin's gorgeous daughter showing her behind in a gym. I say to myself, how much lower can this go? How much lower can it go? Do these girls not have any self-respect? Well, take a look at her father. How can she have any self-respect with him as a father, you ask? There's your answer. I haven't even warmed up yet. It's Friday.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Thank God it's Friday, and thank God for radio. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. These are the best hours of my day. I do fly like an eagle. The time I'm on the air, I transcend my body. I transcend the zoological order. And then right after the show is over and the microphone goes off and the lights go off, I fall to earth. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, they've been saying radio is dead. Who's been saying radio is dead? Zuckerberg? Zuckerfish is saying it's dead? It's dead? Radio reaches 242 million listeners a week, finds Nielsen. This came out this week. New report, State of the Media, Audio Today, 2014, How America Listens, February 2014. 242 million Americans listen to radio each week. 92% of everyone aged 12 or older. So you say, well, it's not all you, Savage. No, not yet. I don't have 242 million listeners a week. The number one format is country music. You can see why. Why do you think country music's so popular? Because it's the real America. It's the real America. It's not rap. It's not gibberish. It's not bad hieroglyphics set to a drum. So country is number one. News talk is number two. News talk, the business I'm in. So the prognostication of the death of radio and talk radio, forget about it, they're all wrong. We've come back stronger than ever. News talk has an 11.3 share of total listeners. Country 14.8. Doesn't mean very much to the average person. But now you hear the politicians, everything Spanish, Spanish this, Spanish that, Spanish this. Oh, let's go Spanish, Hispanic market, Spanish this, Hispanic that, Spanish, Spanish. You want to hear what they're polling in radio? You ready? Mexican regional 2.8 share. Mexican regional 2.8 share. How is that possible if the idiots in the advertising business, we don't listen to those old white males and conservative radio. No, we want to get the Hispanic audience. Hispanic. Spanish. Spanish language. Mira. Spanish language. Mira. Spanish contemporary 1.4. Mexican regional 2.8. News talk 11.3. Country music 14.8. This is the real data. Don't listen to the morons who come out of college and don't know they're behind from their elbow. They know nothing. They run the advertising business. They run the media business. They run Hollywood, but they don't know anything. So here we are, actor worship. Philip Seymour Hoffman was a junkie. Selfish, put the needle and the drugs above his children, and was supposed to turn him into a victim. What is an actor? The word means faker. Look up the word actor. In fact, what I'm going to do for you so we don't talk in circles and you think that I'm just giving you a longshoreman's view of the world, an uneducated view, because you think the longshoreman is of the yesteryear was uneducated. He probably knew more than your father did. And if you look up the word actor in Skeet's Concise Etymological Dictionary of the English Language, a book I've treasured for about 40 years, $26.50 I paid for it in 1984. University of Oxford Press, interesting. Skeet's, I'm going to look up actor, the origin of the word actor for you, so that we don't go in circles and we don't argue over something for which there should be no argument. What does the word actor, from what does it derive? Let's see what Alec Baldwin derives from. Let us see what Harvey Weinstein's fortune has been made from. Abbott, abyss, abess, abbey, abdomen, aberration, abet, abhor, abide, abject, abjure, ablaze. Oh, where's actor? Oh, I got to go to the AC. Acacia Academy. Why is there no actor in here? Accident, addict. Oh, it's next to addict? Actor is next to addict? Actor. It's hard to find. Acid. Actor is near acid. Acid is near acorn. Big filth from little acorns grow. I'm really looking for the word actor in here. I can't find it. Maybe it's me. My eyes are blurry from too much television, too much media. I don't see a root word for actor. Accost. It doesn't root. There's no relation to accost. No, I don't want to go to thespian. I want to go to actor. You know what's not in this etymological dictionary? Act is the only, the closest thing I can find in it is act. From the Latin actus. Actus, to do, to drive. So that's an act. That's different than actor. Sure, you can go to thespian. It's a good call, Phil. I'm getting hung up on a word right now. It's like an intelligence test that I should move on, right? So you always, remember in the old days when you took an intelligence test, the teacher said, now look, there's 1,000 questions. Don't get hung up at any one question. If you can't answer it, move on. So if you were like a little psycho or a little ADD, you hit one question you couldn't answer. It's like you sat looking at the word tap dance for an hour and you got it like a 14 IQ and you wound up in the garment district or in Hollywood. Either you were selling ties or working for Harvey Weinstein. Teak. No, let's look at thespian, then we'll move on. I can see my mood is already lifted. Thank God. Thank God for small favors. Theodolite, theocracy, theogony, theorem, thespian is related to you-know-what, a word that ends in I-A-N. Thespian. Thes is not in here. There's no relationship. Okay, I'm looking for the etymological dictionary. We can't find it. Forget about it. Why do we worship them? These degenerates. You know, not every actor used to be like this. Again, here's something you may have heard before. After World War II, I was a little boy. I didn't know what they had done. You take an actor like Jimmy Stewart. Maybe you don't even know who he is. The guy had been a bomber pilot in World War II. A mild-mannered, wonderful actor all around, was a captain on a B-24, if I remember correctly. There are other actors who came back from World War II who had dignity and character. They were actors. They didn't glorify the enemy and degeneracy. So when did this change? When did it change in the 1960s? I'm sure that there's a PhD student out there who's written on this. I'm sure there have been brilliant essays on who degenerated the theater in America, who turned it into a sewer pipe of Hollywood. Who turned Hollywood into a sewer pipe? Well, there's a long story to this, and it's not even worth your listening to. It is a sewer pipe. All you got to know is that you need to change the infrastructure of the sewer pipe. You need to block the pipe with concrete and run a new channel into something cleaner and purer and more American. You need to run a patriotic movie every once in a while. How many times can I watch another hateful anti-military movie done by these anti-war slime? Every movie about Iraq was an anti-war movie. So one came out recently that glorified these guys, the one that we talked about, Lone Survivor, written by, was written by a man who was the Lone Survivor. Fabulous book. The movie was fairly darn good. I spoke to a Navy SEAL. He said, no, it was accurate. Remember I said that the lead actor didn't play a good role. He looked too old for the part. He corrected me. He said, it's not true. He said, many active Navy SEALs in the field are about his age and look like him. I said, okay, I take it from you. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But the fact is that was one of the first movies that was put out that showed the military in a heroic fashion. I'm talking combat military. I'm not talking about the fat cat sitting in the Pentagon looking for a pension and a contract. I'm talking about the guys on the front lines who are keeping the wolves at bay. I'm talking the wolf killers. I'm talking about the wolfhounds on the streets, our police. And I'm talking about how this Obama administration has put an anti-policeman into the Civil Rights Division, a man who called this a fascist nation, a man who defended a guy who shot a cop in the face and he begged for his life. That's who Obama put into the U.S. Civil Rights Division. That's a decent man? Obama and Holder are good men? Obama and Holder mean well? They are the most despicable radicals of the lowest kind. You couldn't find anything more radical in any university in America than Obama and Holder. If you looked for them, you couldn't find it. Maybe the only one more radical than them would be Lynn Stewart, the football-faced hater of America, the one who passed notes for the blind sheik and was thrown in jail for it. Maybe if they made her vice president, we'd have a completion of what Obama has started. So I'm asking you, how could any cop vote for a Democrat after seeing what they've just done? That's all. Alex on KSFO in my hometown of San Francisco. Alex, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, absolute honor. First-time caller. I listened to you, forever. Can you hear me, Dr. Savage?
Yeah. First of all, listen, it's not an honor. I'm a talk show host. I'm not a deity. I'm not an actor. I'm not a celebrity. But thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Well, absolutely. I agree with
you. And Alex, one other thing. I'm not a great American. don't ever call me a great American. Save that for those in the veteran cemeteries. They're the only great Americans in the police cemeteries. Those are the great Americans. The rest of us are just participants. Anyway, go on, please.
Thank you so much. Well, my point is, we're all guilty of, this worship of, celebrity, Hollywood, things like that. And simply put, we all support them in one way or another. HBO, American Idol, rock and roll,
whatever. The question is, why have actors who are by definition fakers been turned into royalty? What have they done to earn the status of being royalty, especially this generation of actors who are either drug addicts, alcoholics, maniacs, pyromaniacs, whatever you name it. There's a sickness, an illness, an evil. That's the question today. Speaking of the phrase great American, which grates me, I was trying to think of why I woke up last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, laughing, because the man who competes with me in this time slot, who I affectionately called Wallbanger for a number of years, was seen at the same time he was allegedly on the radio. I was on the radio, I turned on Fox News during a break. He was grilling out in the street. So I said, how could this guy be grilling while he's on the radio? So instead of calling him a great American, I started to laugh to myself 3 a.m. I said he should be called a great American, G-R-A-T-E, for the grill. Isn't that funny? The dog thought I was crazy. Phil, is that not funny? Is it not translate hours later? In other words, yeah, he's a great American. He uses the grate to cook steak on it in the middle of a show that he's supposed to be live for. That's what I was saying. Great American is funny. Anyway, to me, it was funny. So listen to this. I have more things I can play today than I have time for. What I do on Friday is I collect the best sound bites of the week on top of the new sound. Because the radio is about sound, and I have the best sound department in the history of radio. Phil, Neil, Doug, no one's better. Nobody. Nobody can beat us in the whole business, ever. I'm very demanding. They probably hate me behind the scenes, but I he's laughing now. No, I am up from 6 in the morning telling, get the sound. Did you hear what Obama just said? Did you hear Pelosi? They worked on that Pelosi sound clip for 2 days. They couldn't find it. I heard it once. I made them find it because that woman gets me. That woman sure gets me. I don't know how she gets away with it. How? Who's going to say a word to her? What's with the sucking candy while she talks? Does anyone else find that rather ugly, offensive rather, that Nancy Pelosi sucks on hard candy while giving speeches with a lot of juice coming out? What is that about? Is there no decorum left anywhere? Clips of the week I collect. So on Monday, you know what we talked about? We were offended by the Coke ad during the Super Bowl. How much can we take on this of this assault on our borders, language, and culture? Tuesday, you know what we talked about? The New York City Sandinista-loving mayor has agreed to close schools for Muslim holidays and for the Chinese New Year. Wednesday, Republican immigration ad, how we're not requiring immigrants to contribute, but we're bending over backwards. We have great sound bites. Today is, of course, Friday. I don't have the time to play them all. But I want you to know what we could do for you. If I had 12 hours a day, I could finally do a full show. WABC, Debbie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, how you doing? I really enjoy your show.
And?
Hello. I wanted to say is that, yes, you're right. The celebrities are being totally, and they're enamored. People just go crazy for them more than anything ever before.
What about the slut girls? What about the slut girls that every day you open, like, the New York Post website, which is almost unlookable lately. Every day. Here. The bare essentials. Ireland Baldwin gets makeup done wearing tiny black strappy leotard and ankle boots in new Instagram, showing her behind. What girl does that who has any sense of self? Next one. She's not worried about a food baby. Leon Rimes chows down a sandwich while sporting brown pattern bikini in Hawaii. I could throw up looking at these pictures. They just look like low-class white trash skanks to me. Who put them up on a pedestal?
I used to get the Daily News delivered to me where I live in New Jersey. I stopped getting it because I was so sick and tired of seeing Lindsay Lohan on the cover of the Daily News more than the news being displayed. And
it's like Jerry Springer in a female body in a bikini every day. It's like watching, if Jerry Springer were a 19-year-old talentless starlet who wanted attention, that's the kind of performance he would give. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation doing what every actor in America wishes they could do, which is express themselves succinctly, intelligently, without a script. So here's a little science thrown in there. Scientists find 800,000-year-old footprints in the UK. It's an interesting story. 800,000 to a million years old footprints in England that basically became fossilized in the mud. And what's interesting about this story, which the media is not covering, is how did that happen? How did it happen that the footprints were fossilized? And what was going on Earth at that time? What was going on is that 700,000 years ago, Britain had a warm Mediterranean-style climate. While before that, the period before that was colder, similar to modern-day Scandinavia. So I took a note of that and said, wait a minute, 700,000 years ago, Britain had a warm Mediterranean-style climate. The period before that was cold, icy, like modern-day Scandinavia. So I said to myself, I wrote down a note, imagine Al Gore, climate change before industrialization must have been those polluting, selfish Neanderthal Republicans who were causing all of that global warming that eliminated the ice age that preceded the heat age. How stupid can you be that you believe a word of this academic mafia, this academic pseudo-scientific mafia that pushes Obama's global warming scam down your throat?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
I refuse to be used as a propaganda tool for the left or for the right. Now, some on the conservative side continue to throw mud my way. I'm Michael Savage. I'm not for sale. My opinions are my own, not bought and paid for by either political party. Some take their lessons from Lord Haw-Haw. I take mine from Lord Acton. And that's why I say give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
The Savage Nation. Weekdays, noon till 3. On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You don't have to major in a certain subject. You don't even have to be at the very bottom of the income ladder to receive the money. Almost everyone is eligible for some form of financial aid. And all you have to do to access that aid is fill out this one little form. It's so simple. So that's why I'm here. And that's my message for you and for students all across the country. Fill out those forms. Fill them out. Don't leave money on the table.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
It gets sicker by the minute. There's the First Lady, Michelle Obama, going to the universities now, telling them everyone should sign up for some form of financial aid. You don't have to have a major in anything. You don't have to be poor. Just fill out this form. Fill out this form. Don't leave money on the table. Now, why do you think Michelle wants the drug addicts and sex maniacs in the colleges, the ignoramuses who don't belong in college, to fill out these forms? They're signing them up for something. They want their names for a list, for elections, that's all. In the old days in Chicago, I understand they used to give out little $5 bottles of brandy in the 30s and 40s. Instead, they give out either food stamps or financial aid now. It's the Chicago way. Now, if you are offended by anything I might say in the coming minutes on the Savage Nation, I have to apologize in advance. I must tell you that I'm suffering from hyperglycemia right now. During the break, I went into the radio refrigerator. I don't do this too often, and I took 3 teaspoonfuls of black cherry jam from an old French recipe. It comes out of Normandy, France. When my head goes low and I feel myself running out of energy, there's nothing like black cherry jam. I just can't believe it. So if I say anything that's offensive to anyone, I apologize in advance. It's the jam that did it. I'm a victim. You'll have to just write it off to my illness, my hyperglycemia. And I'm telling you in advance that if I offend you, it may or may not be that I want to offend you or that what I'm saying is offensive. It could be the jam. And I want you to blame the people of Normandy, France for making this great stuff. All natural ingredients, black cherries, concentrate, grape juice, fruit pectin, lemon juice. I don't use it often. Boy, when I do, you talk about rocket fuel. Whew. So here we are in the Savage Nation. You know, I want to go from that, Michelle telling everyone to get financial aid and you don't have to major in anything. I remember when I went to college, I was a poor kid. Oh, would I have loved financial aid. Instead, I took a job. I worked my way through college. Yeah, I worked my way through college. I didn't have Big Daddy giving me a handout. You don't have to be a major in a certain subject. You don't have to be at the bottom of the income ladder. So what's the financial aid for? If the parents have money, what are you giving them financial aid for? Where's the money coming from? Don't leave money on the table, Michelle. Whose money is it? Yours? Take another vacation. Take another vacation. Anyway, if you heard the first hour, I left the anger behind. I needed the sugar after that. The civil rights racketeers got me sick. Putting that cop-killing lawyer, the lawyer of the cop killer in the Justice Department, and every Democrat who should live in eternal shame for nominating him. Look, the civil rights racket has long been exposed. Here's an article came out last night while you slept. Martin Luther King's children battling over a state. Ooh, what an embarrassment. Facing the latest in a string of legal battles with the brothers, a daughter of Martin Luther King Jr. is seeking to portray herself as the true heir to her father's legacy. Bernice King has been outspoken this week in her opposition to what she said is a plan by her brothers, Dexter King and Martin Luther King III. Listen to this. To sell their father's Nobel Peace Prize medal and personal traveling Bible. You hear what they want to sell off now? Bernice has possession of both items, and her brothers asked the judge last week to order to turn them over. She says, I take this strong position for my father because Daddy is not here to say for himself, my Bible and my medals are not to be sold, she said at a news conference Thursday from the pulpit of the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church where her father and grandfather were pastors. She said, when the record books are written, let it be said that there was at least one heir who tried to further the legacy. Now, what is this about? Ooh, are we allowed to say can we use the word greed, American greed? According to this article, the King children have profited from their father's legacy. In 2006, Sotheby's auctioned off 10,000 documents from their collection for $32 million, with the children receiving equal shares of the money. And they've been suing each other back and forth. David J. Garrow, a historian whose book, Bearing the Cross, Martin Luther King Jr. and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, won the 1987 Nobel Prize, said he wasn't, Pulitzer Prize, said he wasn't surprised in the slightest to hear about the latest fight amongst the King heirs. Listen to what he said. The agenda has always been greed, Garrow said. It's been about maximizing the dollar value of Dr. King's legacy. So accuse him of being the racist, not me. I don't know whether he ate some black cherry jam, but he wrote that in 1987. Maybe you could retrofit your argument to fit that. While their mother was alive, the King children had periods of not speaking to each other, but they mostly kept disagreements to themselves. After their mother died in 06, it was the oldest daughter, Yolanda, who held the siblings together. But when the daughter, Yolanda, died in 07, that glue was gone. Just a year after Yolanda King's death, the long simmering dispute between the three remaining King children boiled over, with three lawsuits filed between the siblings in as many months. And so, what can you say about a story like this? Historian Garrow said the fundamental bottom line here is that the King children have no clue what their father's legacy really means. Martin Luther King Jr. was the most unselfish, ungreedy person who ever lived. So one daughter wants to preserve his Nobel Peace Prize medal and personal Bible, and the others want to sell it off for the highest bidder. Maybe they want to buy a new car, a new bling. Maybe they want to be invited to the White House and buy an ambassadorship to somewhere. Who knows? But they need the money. It's an interesting story. So every time you hear the word civil rights, don't assume everyone is so pure. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Stop already with glorifying and deifying actors. Stop falling for the malarkey when someone with a white collar says he's a civil rights activist. What does that mean? Al Sharpton's a civil rights activist? Jesse Jackson's a civil rights activist? Reverend. What's so reverend about him? What's so revered about them? What's the revere about these people? Nothing. That's all. Pardon. It's the jam. It's the jam speaking. It's the jam speaking. Even though I found the article last night. So it's Friday. Let's lighten it up a bit. Radio reaches 242 million listeners per week, finds Nielsen. Country is number one. News talk is number two. And they said that the business I'm in was dead. They wrote, who listens to radio? Come on, it's over. That's what they said. Oh, it's old. It's old media. Oh, that smokestack. Yeah, the cool people. They Twitter. They tweet. They this. They that. They snort. Well, all right, fine, but they listen to the radio. They listen to the radio anyway in the bus on the way to San Jose. The Googlers, the geniuses in undershirts going with the pimples on their face making $32 million a month. So here we are talking about love, lack of love, talking about politicians and actors being phonies through and through. You know, the thing is the lack of education has led to the gullibility of the American people to a new level. Every day you hear a lie, one lie after another. Obama gives a speech today about income inequality, and those at the top of the pyramid are doing better than ever. And then you read that the ambassadorships that he gave away with the people who bundled more money for him than anyone else. He didn't give it away to a homeless, deserving man. Did he? Did he give it away to a deserving homeless man? Did he give an ambassadorship to some illegal alien? No, he gave it to someone who bundled over $1 million for him. How can you believe anything? So actors and politicians, well, okay, well known, but never been this low. And then just straight out science. Scientists find 800,000-year-old footprints in the UK. That's interesting. They walked upon a muddy estuary during a hot period when the climate in Britain was Mediterranean in climate. Okay, warm, hot, right? And it got stuck. The footprints were found. They were locked in the mud. And the mud turned into silt, and the silt went into the footprint, and the footprint in the hippos, and the bison, and the mammoth, and the hippos, and the rhinoceros roamed. And it was significant that their footprints were found, and they were related to Homo antecessor, or pioneer man, whose fossilized remains have been found in Spain, a species that died out about 800,000 years before Woody Allen was having little girls in his movies. 800,000 and a million years old, 100,000 years older than scientists' earliest estimate of the first human habitation in Britain. But what's most significant to me is that 700,000 years ago, Britain had a very warm Mediterranean climate. But before that, they had an ice age. And the climate there was similar to modern-day Scandinavia. Imagine that, I wrote in the footnotes. Climate change before industrialization must have been those polluting, selfish, Neanderthal-like Republicans polluting the earth. How can any educated person walk around and say global warming or climate change? Do they not understand even the fundamentals that they should have learned in the seventh grade? That there were seven ice ages that I know of at least? I learned it by the seventh grade. By the seventh grade in the earth science, I had to learn that there had been seven ice ages on the planet that were then followed by warm periods. This was long before mankind industrialized. It was because of natural events. And don't think I'm arguing for pollution. I've probably done as much, if not more, than anybody on planet Earth in terms of rescuing what I could from the so-called Earth environment. So please, you know, my bona fides are there. I guarantee you I've done more than Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and 10,000 people like them in terms of rescuing what can be rescued about this great environment of ours. Now, don't lecture me, though, but please don't tell me to be brainwashed by the big lie. You know, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. Have you heard that one? You know who said that? Who said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth, Diane? Well, it wasn't your speechwriter. It wasn't Obama's spokesmouth. It was none other than Mr. Goebbels. Mr. Goebbels. And I'm not talking about someone who raises rodents. No, sirree, Bob. No, he wasn't a little gerbil raiser in Hollywood. He was a propagandist for old Adolf. He said if you tell a big enough lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So now the big lie is sustainable, green, climate change. Last night I made the mistake of going to a local restaurant. Oh, did I dread it. I knew I would. I had to go. I have to eat. There's only a limit to how much I can eat out of a package at home, takeout. Went to a local restaurant. Nice owner, very nice guy. Unfortunately for me, at the very next table were some diehard Marin County liberals of the lowest order. Now, they looked normal. They looked like averagely high school, probably college-educated people. And there it was, somewhere in the middle of the meal. Maybe they recognized me. Maybe they wanted to offend me in some way. Right away, I heard the following words being uttered by the husband. Greedy Republicans, they only stand for themselves. Mutter, mutter, how's the pasta? How's your, what are you eating? Mutter, mutter, mother-in-law, what are you having? Mutter, mutter, mutter. Next I heard, well, the sustainability of that project, mutter, mutter, pass the jello. I mean, it went on and on. So at which point I finished as quickly as I could and I left the restaurant. And that's the world according to Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
There is an economic argument for immigration. And it is no surprise because immigration has always been the reinvigoration of a society, of our country, by bringing their hopes, their aspirations, their optimism, their determination, their grit. Immigrants coming to our shores with their commitment to making the future better for their family, with their belief in the American dream, have been a revitalization always of our economy.
Cool and short, short. We went short, short. Went short, short, short. We like short, short.
Welcome back. Listen, I'll tell you, has there been any evolution since the age of fishes, I wonder? When you listen to Nancy Pelosi putting out that rotten fish of a lie about immigrants, I sometimes think we haven't evolved past the age of fishes. That we're still stuck in the age of the coal swamps, that we haven't even yet reached the age of the first mammals and the first birds, that we haven't even come to the level of the Neanderthal and the Rhodesian man. Sometimes I wonder if we've passed the age of the fishes when I listen to this. It's not even at the level of primitive thought. The lies that come out of these Democrat ignoramuses, who believes them? I don't understand it. Even an educated Democrat wouldn't believe a word that she says, or Obama. He speaks about income inequality, and he gives ambassadorships to people who give him more money than anyone else. So how do you listen to the man? Why? Whatever. Then we're talking about the degenerates in Hollywood, the sewer pipe of Hollywood. Am I getting a break? Well, I'm lucky I have a break. So think about it this way. If I had no breaks, I'd be in the internet. I'd have no stations. It'd be internet radio. Two Dixie cups and a string and $12 a year in income. Everyone said that internet radio was going to be the next big thing. Sure. Right. Sure, right. Yep, that's true. It's absolutely true. Now, when, though? The age of the fishes, maybe.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere.
Welcome back. Now, looking at this report, 800,000-year-old footprints found in the UK. Climate change before it. Ice age before it. Hot age past it, 700,000 years later. It's amazing how idiotic. The politicians of today are like Piltdown Man, a fake species that never existed, invented by Russian scientists. Piltdown Man. That's what politicians in America become. They're like Piltdown Man. They say things that have no relationship to the human being, and they assume someone's believing them. I don't understand it. I've got to get this food story, and I've been holding it for an hour and a half. I'm dying to share it with you because I want to warn you. It just came out today. It's real. It's good. Safe levels of neurotoxin found in seafood may cause kidney damage. Listen to this study. A chemical commonly found in seafood, mainly hard-shell seafood, okay, let's be clear, mussels, clams, and scallops, may lead to kidney damage, even at levels that were once considered safe for human consumption. A new study in mice has revealed. She said, well, I'm not a mouse. Listen carefully. Don't be a lunkhead. In light of these new findings, researchers are calling for more regulation of the neurotoxin, the moic acid. I thought it was Obama acid. Obamic acid. I was hoping somehow to tie it to the presidency, but I couldn't. The moic acid is now at a higher level in mussels, clams, and scallops. And it's produced by algae in the world's oceans, and the moic acid is a natural toxin that happens to accumulate in bottom feeders such as mussels, clams, and scallops. But it's changed. Why? The levels are higher. How do they know it's becoming a problem? Well, it's showing up more frequently in larger sea creatures such as fish and even dolphins. In fact, have you seen the sea lion deaths that are occurring? Well, it turns out that biomarkers that are used to find out why the sea lions are dying, they're finding markers for domoic acid. The amount of this toxin is higher in the red blood cells. And as you know, sea lions, amongst other things, eat hard shell clams, mussels, and scallops. And although it's been known that this toxin damages the brain, it's been found out that because the kidney has to filter it, the damage to the kidneys is occurring much faster than thought. I'm going to give you one last piece of data. The FDA set the limit of domoic acid that can be consumed by humans at 20 parts per million. Okay, just remember the number, 20 parts per million. But the government now says that below this, it doesn't cause any neurological effects. That's true in the brain. What you don't hear, though, is that the kidney is affected at 100 times lower than this concentration. Your kidneys are extremely sensitive. You ever woken up with lower back pain after you've eaten shellfish? Have you recently been awakening with lower back pain from some foods? I have. It's amazing. I couldn't put two and two together. I couldn't understand why. I stopped eating seafood from China months ago. I won't touch the poison. I insist that I find out where the food comes from. I don't eat it anymore. I used to love calamari. I won't touch it. Unless I know it's from Monterey Bay, I won't touch it. It's poison. I will not eat it. Because every time I ate it, the next day my lower back would hurt. I know it was kidney pain. No one has to tell me. I don't need a genius to analyze it and tell me it's your kidneys. I can feel it. Well, you don't have our own. At a certain age, what, you can't be your own doctor and figure out what's wrong and what's affecting you? If you can't, then you're not going to live too long. Well, let me explain why I'm going off on this hard shell stuff and low levels of toxins that you can pick up on your own. Because I have the same capacity to pick up the toxins in our social order, in our society, rather, that the scientists can pick up with high-resolution equipment. I am very sensitive to the buildup of the neurotoxins being put out by our society. And that's why I am trying to warn you on a daily basis what is being put out into your mind, whether it be from the presidency, from Nancy Pelosi, from the Democrat establishment. Wherever you turn, they're putting out neurotoxins that are literally killing us. That's my opinion. Everything goes back to that at the end of the day. So I'm warning you, if you have chronic kidney disease, you have very young children, you're elderly, you may be more sensitive to domoic acid than healthy people. So be cautious in regard to seafood consumption. Even if you love this stuff, be cautious and don't say I didn't warn you. I know many people are going to get angry at me because they're in the seafood business. And I used to enjoy all of this stuff. Loved it. Oh, I used to eat mussels marinara. I don't eat it anymore. I won't do it. Mulberry Street, the Zupa. Slurping it down, ruining shirt after shirt. From head to toe, covered in the sauce. I can't do it anymore. That's all. And you have to understand they're bottom feeders. They suck up the silt at the bottom. It's not 500 years ago in the Bay of Naples Bay, where there were no toxins in the bay. Okay, you know, maybe they were healthful then, when the bays were clean. But it's a long way from Naples Bay. Try to get him out of a clean estuary here in America. See if you can find one. Okay, let's go to the callers. I've told you enough about toxins that are killing Americans in the mind and the body. Christine on WABC in New York, fire away. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Generally, I'm pretty liberal on issues, but I've been listening to you, and I can't help but agree with you on a lot of the issues with Hollywood, and I think it also relates to our politics, where it's almost, and I teach college, so, you know, I teach history and technology, but there's almost a dumbing down of our society or a distracting of our society where they're almost encouraging people to become complacent by people they don't even know as far as celebrities. And I think something's alarming where, you know, not to diminish his career or whatever, but I don't think Hoffman was anything more than a drug addict. But yet they are honoring him in such a way that they wouldn't do to any other kind of person on the
Well, that's my point. He was a fine actor, so what? But he was also a heroin addict, a junkie. I'm sorry, the glorification. And he was very selfish. He put the needle in his arm instead of taking care of his children. And they've deified him. But he's not the only one. If you look at Hollywood, look how many recovering heroin addicts there are, or functioning heroin addicts there are. Why are they all on drugs? Why are so many of them on drugs, Christine? If you're a professor, what is your field again?
I'm in the visual arts. So I'm very aware of popular culture and
all right. Well, it's something I love to analyze or look at. There's no greater lover of art than I. There are people who know more than I do, but I don't think anyone can enjoy it as much as I. Whether it be museums or films, books, music, you name it. So when I see what Hollywood is doing to us, I talk about it, and I'm glad to hear that you, as a liberal professor, are also alarmed by the trend in our entertainment industry.
Well, I feel I don't have any sympathy for anybody who has that level of opportunity in their life and decides to throw it away to substance abuse or whatever else. But the thing is, if you look at some of the shows Hollywood has put forward, I don't look at a lot of those biographical shows as more than making excuses for them, you know, behind the music and all those shows where it's like, oh, look at how great and talented they are. Oh, and then they went bankrupt, or they had a drug addiction, or they went alcoholic, they almost died, and it's a miracle they're alive and now making whatever, music, writing, acting. Those shows are like creating mythological heroes out of these celebrities, and they're, you know, and Hollywood will not, and I agree with you on the war films, they don't want to celebrate real people in a sense that, you know, if everything in life is not black and white, there is gray areas, and I think Hollywood really co-opts the way our society.
No, of course they do. When have they last taken a beat cop who risks his life every day to keep the wolves at bay and turned them into a hero instead of a lowlife? When has Harvey Weinstein last done that? Every movie is Cops Gone Wild.
Mm-hmm.
What's this with Jay Leno all of a sudden everywhere you turn? Why is he so important? The man reads scripts his entire life. When did he become Einstein?
I don't know, and it's very frustrating. I don't really watch a lot of television or film.
You know, you're a professor of this. I swear to God, I'm on one Bible, which I have on my desk. I have never watched an entire Jay Leno show. I've seen him in passing. You know why? I'm asleep. I work for a living. Who was up at that time of night watching Jay Leno? Who has the mental capacity to forget everything in life and not worry about going to work the next day? Who watches shows like that? What's the demographic for it?
I don't know, because it's not me. I mean,
So it's not me? I don't know who watches a show like that. And yet everywhere you turn, Jay Leno says goodbye. Oh, wow, horrible. Teary-eyed goodbye. And what is America going to lose that Jay Leno is off television for 3 minutes? What, we can't find another funny man who can read a script with a deadpan face? Anyway, look, that's the way to look at it. So, Christine, I have a question for you. You're a liberal socially. You're a liberal arts professor professionally. You listen to the show. How did you hear I was on the air? I want to know.
Actually, my husband's a big fan of yours, and he told me. I'm a big fan of Hannity and a few other guys that are more conservative, but I have never really listened to your program, to be honest. And he told me to listen to you because we've discussed things that you've discussed because he's heard you. And I actually agree with a lot of it. I mean, a lot of what you're saying about how it affects...
And be careful, Christine, because the more you start to listen to me, the more you'll get along with your husband, and then God knows what might happen.
No.
Christine, you're a winner of Shari's Berries. I give out this $50 gift once or twice a day. It's the I'm not a big eater of chocolate, but when I first tasted it, I said, I can't resist this stuff. And it is an advertiser of mine, amongst other great advertisers. Guys, what's the website again? I don't ever remember. Berries.com, and you click Savage in the microphone. You'll never stop eating them. Yep, Savage in the promo code. Berries.com, B-E-R-R-Y, B-E-R-R, Berries.com, Berries.com, click Savage. Well, we're talking about the messages of the day coming out of Washington and Hollywood on the Savage Nation. I think the zinger is Michelle Obama yesterday giving a speech where she says you don't have to major in a certain subject. You don't even have to be at the very bottom of the income ladder to receive financial... Play clip four again. They have to hear this again.
You don't have to major in a certain subject. You don't even have to be at the very bottom of the income ladder to receive the money. Almost everyone is eligible for some form of financial aid, and all you have to do to access that aid is fill out this one little form. It's so simple. So that's why I'm here, and that's my message for you and for students all across the country. Fill out those forms. Fill them out. Don't leave money on the table.
What do you mean, don't leave money on the table? Do you have any idea this is bribery? Do you have any idea that the First Lady is bribing our children? What do you mean, don't leave money on the table? Whose money? It's my money. Now you understand why we're broke. And if you don't understand why we're broke, you should understand why we're broke. When I was a kid, if I wanted a scholarship, you had to major in a certain subject that was considered to be a value to America. Not, let us say, basket weaving, as they used to say. You couldn't get a scholarship for that. You couldn't get a scholarship for so-called ethnic studies. Because it's basically a useless degree. It's maybe fun to hear or read, but you can't do anything with it except teach ethnic studies. So it's a self-perpetuating, useless subject at the end of the day. You had to take a major in science, for example, because the country used to want more scientists, more engineers. So you had to major in science or engineering or medicine. And you had to be at the bottom of the income ladder to receive the money. But under Obama, you can major in anything you'd like, or not major at all. You can major in, I don't want to get grotesque or burlesque here, and get a scholarship. Why do you think she is doing that? To me, it seems like she's bribing our children in order to get them to sign up for a list which they're going to use for the elections. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Real gentle people, yeah. You meet the meanest, most bigoted people on earth. Everywhere you turn, the meanest, most rejecting people on the planet are in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. It's the Savage Nation. If you read my novel, Abuse of Power, where Jack Hatfield saves the city from a Muslim terrorist who wants to blow up the Golden Gate Bridge, If you read my novel, A Time for War, with Jack Hatfield saving another, let's say, portion of America, you'll see paintings of, verbal paintings of San Francisco that are the best ever, best written, let's say, since Jack London wrote Seawolf. I would say I'm a native son in that regard, and have best painted San Francisco in a novel. No one's done a better job since Jack London. Now, I don't need the San Francisco newspaper to give me an award for me to tell you that I have my own audience, and it's larger than their newspaper audience. I don't need Nancy Pelosi to give me a key to her city. I don't want a key to her city. I just need you to understand that, well, understand a few things. I don't want to summarize it in a single sentence. Maybe I just felt like boasting because of the sugar I had, the jam. I don't know. Maybe it's just a piece of a thought. Whatever it is, it is. That's all. It's my show. I can say what I want. It's that simple. But when you look at the news of the day, when you look at Pelosi getting up there and droning on and on about how all immigrants, like it's like 1901, and they all come here to work and become Americans, how can anyone believe a word they say? Or Michelle getting up there bribing our children, saying, sign those forms. Don't leave money on the table. She is exactly what's wrong with America. All the years in the 60s and 70s, these liberal no-goodniks would go to the bums of America and say to them, work the system. Let me show you how to work the system. So now we have a community organizer in the White House and his wife working the system. They're the richest and most powerful people on the planet. The most powerful people on the planet. Undermining the very nation that gave them these great positions of authority. Undermining the nation. Telling people don't leave money on the table. Undermining America as though they're still poor community organizers with a staple gun and a copy of Mao Zedong's little red book in their back pocket. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Go to michaelsavage.com for all of the latest news stories all weekend. We update regularly.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is hour number three of The Savage Nation. Hour number three of The Savage Nation. So we're not going to be sitting here crying over the death of the heroin addict actor. We're not in mourning today over his panic in Needle Park. Selfish man chose the needle and the drugs over his children and his own self. I'm sick of opening the websites like God himself has died. Why is this man being glorified? The funeral mass was private with only those in a guest list allowed admission. Like a club through the massive bronze doors of the venerable Upper East Side Church on a frosty February morning. Oh, boo-hoo. Family and stars gathered for Philip Seymour Hoffman. First of all, most Americans don't know who he is. Younger people never heard of him. I thought he was a fine actor. And let him be buried already with the family. Enough already. Stop glorifying him. What message does this send our children? What's the difference? Don't even call on it. Or that punk Bieber with the pot in the plane. How many times can I read about that? That stupid punk. You know what? I'd like to see where this jerk's going to be at 35. This drug-addicted punk. This moron, Bieber. Bieber, see it. Bieber frisking booking video after Miami DUI arrest. Ooh, how exciting. Then you go to the starlet sluts. The daughters, the half-ugly daughters of the actors. Showing their behinds now while exercising on Instagram. I don't know what they want. What do they want out of life? No, they have no shame. What do I... Or Leno tears up during second Tonight Show bow out. Oh, another great loss to society. Another script reader is leaving television. Let's see, what else? Let us see what is in the news. There's a lot of, what? I don't believe this news. Joe Biden sees no obvious reason not to run for president in 2016. Let me give him an obvious reason. Joe, here's one obvious reason why you have no chance of winning. Because all the police in America now know that you voted to put the cop killer's lawyer into the Justice Department. You voted along with the despicable Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer, Dick Durbin, Sheldon Whitehouse, Al Franken, Christopher Coons, Richard Blumenthal, and Maisie Hirono to approve the lawyer for the cop killer, Mumia Abu-Jamal, to be appointed into the Justice Department. Joe, you should have had some sense to understand that there's a limit to how far the police will go in supporting you. So there's an obvious reason not to run for president in 2016. There are quite a few others. He'll make a decision by the summer of 2015. The decision was made for him at birth. That's all. The decision was made for Joe Biden at birth. Just doesn't have the genes for it. Let's see, what else? 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. Oh, this is a bad one. Yeshiva student busted for scrawling anti-Semitic graffiti at Long Island train station. That's good for the Jews. Jonathan Schuster, 18, of Far Rockaway, used a black marker to deface a billboard on the platform inside the Cedarhurst station. You hear? Oh, my God. Who raised this idiot? Yeshiva student busted in probe of anti-Semitic graffiti at LIRR station. What did he expect? Sympathy? What nerve? What did he scrawl, this moron? Tagger is part of a year-long investigation. A tip finally led investigators right to the senior at Priority One Torah Academy of Lawrence Cedarhurst, a special school for troubled kids. All right, so he's a lunatic. That's all. Forgive him for being a moron. The hate-marking maven admitted only to tagging the Cedarhurst station. Ah, what an idiot. How can they charge him with a hate crime if it was against his own people? Felony criminal mischief is a hate crime. Let me see how that works. If you... Phil, do you understand how crazy this is? Wait a minute. He's a yeshiva student, so he's Jewish, I assume. I have to make that assumption because I'm not Joe Biden. I didn't have to read that. I'm just assuming because he's a yeshiva student, he's Jewish. And he scrawls an anti-Semitic slogan on a train station, and they charge him with a hate crime? Does that make sense to you? I mean, I could see charging him with, you know, like a false hate crime or something. Is everyone at jury duty right now not listening to the show? Do you understand what's going on here? Wow. That's amazing. Remember they made a big deal the other day about that menu for Black History Month that they said they can't serve because it was racist to serve those foods. That was a big story? Insane. Cop shoots dog in Harlem after it bites fellow officer. Okay, I can't comment on that. De Blasio announces $3 million in grants for city's fashion industry. I understand he's trying to fund the design of a new red beret at the Fashion Institute of Technology. whoever designs the best new Mao jacket or the best new red beret in New York gets the grant from De Blasio. This is good stuff. No, I'm just reading the headlines now off the Daily News. It's actually fun to do and make it up as I go along because I have enough sugar in my blood right now. I'm suffering from the jam that I ate before the last hour. I can do a snowplow joke if you want. Did you hear the earliest stories I was talking about? Did you? I don't want to repeat them. It gets painful. Senate panel okays Adi Jabil. Criticism grows over Abu-Jamal. That's President Obama's pick to lead the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, cleared his first hurdle to a confirmation yesterday, despite mounting criticism of his work and appeal of his death sentence of Philadelphia cop murderer Mumia Abu-Jamal. In a 10-8 vote along party lines, the despicable, evil Democrats spit in the face of the dead policeman and his widow. They wouldn't even let her testify. Dianne Feinstein, you know, I've known for years what you are, because I live in San Francisco. I've seen you rise from the mayorship to the most powerful committee on earth. How you have no shame after all these years is astonishing to me. How Feinstein and Schumer and the other Democrats can vote to put this filth into the Justice Department and not even allow Faulkner's widow to appear and make her statement is just astonishing to me. We'd expect that behavior from Al Franken, the doughboy of Congress. And again, I want to caution those of you who say all Republicans are bad and they're all sold out. The only no votes on the approval of this lowlife bum into the Justice Department were from Republicans. Grassley, Hatch, Sessions, Graham, Cornyn, Lee, Cruz, and Flake said no to this bum. Not one Democrat would step aside from their evil Communist Party USA rhetoric and say, you know what, I may be a Democrat, but I'm not voting to put this man into that Justice Department. Do you know who put this nomination forward? Louis Farrakhan and the NAACP. Did you hear what I just said to you? He thanked Louis Farrakhan for helping getting him nominated. How can any policeman ever vote for a Democrat? I'll never understand. I'll never understand it from here forward. I will never understand it. 855, don't leave money on the table. That's what Michelle's motto is. Don't leave money on the table. Don't leave money on the table, said Michelle. Did you hear that soundbite? She was bribing the college students of America in clip four. You got to hear this one. Play it again.
You don't have to major in a certain subject. You don't even have to be at the very bottom of the income ladder to receive the money. Almost everyone is eligible for some form of financial aid. And all you have to do to access that aid is fill out this one little form. It's so simple. So that's why I'm here. And that's my message for you and for students all across the country. Fill out those forms. Fill them out. Don't leave money on the table.
You know, when Obama and his wife were selected to be president, the New Yorker ran a cartoon that was roundly condemned. Do you remember the cartoon? She was portrayed in a caricature as a modern Davis, and he was portrayed as a radical, a screaming, radical of the 60s. Do you remember that? And they were condemned for it, the New Yorker was. But the longer I live with this couple, this power couple, and what they stand for and what they do, and I see that they're no different than they were as community organizers. They have not grown in the job. They have not evolved. They've not matured. The same mentality, the same rhetoric, the same destructive rhetoric, the same non-thinking, knee-jerk reactions. The more I realize that cartoon in the New Yorker was dead accurate. That's how I see it. KCMO in Kansas City, Missouri, on the Savage National Show. Rick, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Michael. I just had a twist on Michelle Obama. How come she can't say, and by the way, when you see a hard-working businessman pass you on the street, tell him thanks for working real hard so we can have money in our tax pot to pay for all this?
Look, you have to understand, Michelle and Barack Obama are ideologues of the far left. Their goal is to decimate the middle class, which is why they're preaching now about how they're trying to help the middle class. They know people are on to them. They understand that people understand what they've been doing to the middle class. So now every word out of their mouth is about the middle class. But make no mistake about it, these are old line radicals who have long understood that to have a Marxist revolution, you have to shrivel the middle class, so there's only the elites and the poor. There's your answer in a nutshell. Fill out those forms. How hard is that? Fill out those forms. Fill out those forms. And for God's sakes, all you blue-collar Americans, never vote for a Democrat again. Never check D as long as you live. Unless you want to wind up at the bottom of the class. Brian on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, and you're absolutely right. What these people in Hollywood don't have is they don't have structure. That little Bieber, deport him. Send him back. You're coming in here, and you're saying profanities, a former president. You're not from this country.
But, Brian, do you agree with me that marijuana and the legalization of it is a disaster for our children?
Oh, absolutely. And everybody in recovery will tell you that.
That's right. That's 100% correct. Then why are the politicians glorifying marijuana while attacking soda?
Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. They're structured.
Well, I have some idea, and it's not very pretty. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
I'm a walking in the rain. Tears are falling and
I'm... It is 23 minutes after the hour on this rainy Friday here in San Francisco. The show goes out to America. I know you don't realize that. But I'm the only San Francisco radio host who's ever made it nationally. And there's a reason for it. And you know the reason. It's my hyperglycemia. Welcome to the show. If you get on the show, you'll reach more people, not only in San Francisco, but across America than you've ever met your entire life. Pretty big news day out there. There's never a slow news day for me. Let's take some calls, though. Some have been holding over an hour. Let's go to WMAM. No, I wanted to go to KSFO, actually. Steve on KSFO. Steve, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. So our nation is moving from a melting pot to a boiling pot, right? The proverbial, how do you boil a frog?
And?
So, well, so 1 degree at a time, and then it's too late, and the thing's cooked. So and? I'm wondering, from a historical standpoint, at what point do Americans wake up to stop the direction we're going, or do we fall into, let's say, the late 30s, early 40s in Europe, where we just get boiled?
Well, you're asking a loaded question, because to step into this requires an awful lot of caveats. There are several comparisons in history. I wouldn't say that we're Germany in the 1920s after the League of Nations forced reparations on the German people. Is that what you're implying? This is the Weimar Republic?
Well, just to allow a leader to rise up.
I know. A demonic demagogue like Barack Obama, who gets away with anything he wants without any checks or balances on his nuts, his insanity. The guy is nuts. He's looking more nuts by the day. Everything he does seems to be more demonic on a daily basis. And people are saying, can't anybody stop this man? Why is there no one standing up and saying enough is enough? Isn't that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. At what point do Americans wake up, or is it going to be too late?
I don't have an answer for that because, you know, we have to run through the progress of time to see where this leads. Am I optimistic? Am I pessimistic? I'm not sure. I can't answer the question. It's a complex question. Are there checks and balances? I see him getting worse, not better. He pretends to be more moderate on a daily basis while he gets more radical. He speaks more moderately while he acts more radically. That's the summation of what I see going on. His rhetoric is more moderate in some ways, and then his actions are more radical in many ways on a daily basis. And you say, how can Holder and him get away with it? Why is there no opposition movement? Where is the opposition movement in America? The Republicans are simply holding ground. They're doing the best they can, they think, to just tread water. They're treading water while the sharks are swimming around, sort of in a circle around them, keeping them in a corral. Think of the Republicans as a school of fish, white fish, if you want. Just think of the Republican Party just as a group of white fish swimming in a tank. And around them are sharks swimming around and around, eyeing them, keeping them in this sort of invisible circle, this cage. That's the way the world is right now. You got the sharks swimming around the white fish. And how this ends, I don't know. Do the white fish revolt, or do they become gefilte fish, is the question. I mean, where are the carp? If you're going to make them into gefilte fish, you need some carp to mix with them. And I don't know if there's enough carp to make a decent edible fish out of the white fish, frankly. I'm not a fan of white fish. And since I don't eat seafood from China, I'm lost. I don't know where my cuisine is supposed to come from. We have so little time and so many great calls, and I might or might not get to you. Please don't be offended if we don't get to you, even if you call the show. But again, the topics are pretty important. Actually, very important. If I were to rank them today, look no further than Feinstein and Schumer and what they did, in who they picked to lead the Justice Department Civil Rights Division, a lawyer for a cop killer, and good old Feinstein, who's so concerned about women, would not let the widow of Philadelphia officer Daniel Faulkner, who this piece of garbage shot in the face, would not even let her speak. Shame on you, Feinstein. Shame on you, Schumer.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Churches who were intent on breaking the cycle of poverty and hard-hit communities there. And I'm grateful not only because I was broke and the church fed me.
Oh, my God.
Because it led to everything else. It led me to embrace Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It led me to Michelle, the love of my life, and it blessed us with two extraordinary daughters. It led me to public service, and the longer I serve, especially in moments of trial or doubt, the more thankful I am of God's guiding hand.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who can believe this? He was broke and the church fed him? He recreated a whole story about himself. I don't believe. How did he get away with this? At a prayer breakfast, he was broke and the church fed him? The guy went to Columbia University on a scholarship. Well, anyway, it's not about him anymore. It is the national prayer breakfast and what we wanted to hear and didn't hear. Why didn't Mr. Obama defend Christians? Christians, as you know, are being slaughtered. Churches are being burned in Syria, in Egypt, in Africa, by Muslims. Why doesn't he say that this is not going to be accepted? The American military will back up the churches around the world, and Christians need not fear anymore because we're coming to your rescue. Wouldn't that been an appropriate thing to say to National Prayer Breakfast if he is suddenly embracing Jesus? And notice how affirmatively Christian he was compared with previous Christian breakfasts. As we get closer to the midterm elections, he seems to be finding his religious footing closer and closer to the midterm elections. He's becoming more and more, let us say, certain of his Christianity. We no longer hear about the Quran as often as we did in the beginning. Didn't quite work out for him the way he hoped it would. Anyway, I want to talk about a few topics. Man, God, and nature. And the news as it comes up. Speaking of man, God, and nature, rabbis in Israel sent a wrath of God letter to John Lurch Kerry. Lurch got a letter from the rabbis of Israel that should make anyone shake. According to IsraelNationalNews.com, a group called Rabbis for the Committee to Save the Land and People of Israel penned an open letter to Secretary of Hate John Kerry, calling for an end to his antagonism against Israel. INN reports that the criticisms in the letter stem from Kerry's efforts to hand over Israel to Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas, as well as Kerry's threatened global boycott of the Jewish state if peace talks fail. The letter contends that Kerry's plans would result in tens of thousands of Jews being displaced from their homes, something the rabbis equate to a war on God. And here are excerpts from the rabbi's letter as reported by INN. It will not make it to the CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC networks. Are you ready? Rabbis to John Kerry. Your incessant efforts to expropriate integral parts of our Holy Land and hand them over to Abbas's terrorist gang amount to a declaration of war against the Creator and ruler of the universe. For God awarded the entire land of Israel to our ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in order that they bequeath it as an everlasting inheritance to their descendants, the Jewish people, until the end of all time. If you continue on this destructive path, you will ensure your everlasting disgrace in Jewish history for bringing calamity upon the Jewish people, like Titus, who destroyed the first and second great temples in the entire holy city of Jerusalem, and who by heavenly punishment brought eventual disaster upon themselves too. By the power of our holy Torah, we admonish you to cease immediately all efforts to achieve these disastrous agreements in order to avoid severe heavenly punishment for everyone involved. I like this faith-based admonition to a John Lurch Kerry. Rabbi send wrath of God letter to John Kerry. It will not affect him. Believe me, it will not affect him whatsoever. It will not affect him whatsoever. The only thing that could save America is a resurgence of a belief in God and that God loves us and God loves America. Otherwise, this country is ruined. So when you go back and it's Obama suddenly discovering he's a Christian, all of a sudden, I never heard as much about Christianity as I heard at the prayer breakfast. In the past, he never referred to it like this. Now it's Jesus is Lord and Savior. He was in the gutter and broke. He was broke. The church fed him. It led to everything else. Now he believes in God all of a sudden. I'm glad to hear it. But why is Obama suddenly such a believer in Jesus and Christianity? Why? Well, let's do the math. It's February 2014, and in only a few months, it'll be November 2014. And guess what happens in November 14? Well, it's like homing pigeons. It's called election time. And just as homing pigeons eventually have to go home, even lying politicians have to find God before an election. That's as simple as that. Suddenly, Teddy, they find their roots in their faith. And you'll notice that as we get closer to the election period, more of them will be seen with Bibles than ever before. More will talk about faith than ever before, because the yokel out there, they need the yokel's vote. And there's no way, a better way to get the yokel's vote, Teddy, than to walk around and start talking about God. And so you'll see, watch it. Do an analysis, a computer program, someone out there. How many times politicians mention God, faith, and religion and their Christianity between now and or the most devout pot-pushing atheist in Congress will suddenly talk about God between now and October because they need the vote of the yokel. That's how they see it. That's all. You know, I really want to talk about the God thing again a little bit more because we have such great callers. But first, a few headlines. Vitamin C shows promises cancer therapy. Wow. The establishment finally found that if you use vitamin C along with, they're acknowledging it. Intravenous vitamin C combined with conventional chemotherapy can kill cancer cells, says the University of Kansas Medical Center. No kidding. Linus Pauling wrote about that 40 years ago. But they're still tentatively suggesting it might be possible. But, of course, they won't get rid of conventional chemotherapy because that would be a blow to the pharmaceutical medical complex. Fine, use both. At least you understand that vitamin C does have anti-cancer action. So if you're on chemo, tell your doctor that you'd like intravenous vitamin C as well. And don't let them say there's nothing to it. It shows their ignorance, not their intelligence. In a study of 27 patients newly diagnosed with stage 3 or stage 4 ovarian cancer, researchers found that patients who received a high dose of IV vitamin C, along with conventional cancer therapy of paclitaxel, or carboplatin, experienced fewer toxic effects from the chemo drugs. Well, that's only half the story. It was not just fewer toxic effects. It probably also stimulated the immune system. Whatever. That's all. I don't want to talk about cancer at all. We've done, you know, what I'm going to do on it. So now let's go back to this whole issue of God, faith, the universe. No one has to tell me that there's a, you know, I don't have to break my brain to understand the divinity of life. I see it in a fly that I let out of a house. I let it fly out of my door. Sometimes you see a fly, if you've ever looked at a fly under a microscope, which I did as a kid, you see the amazing complexity of a fly. Say, why should I kill it? Did it bother me? So I let a fly out of the window, Teddy, or a butterfly. You want to crush everything that walks? Must you step on every ant that's under your feet? Must you be like Nancy Pelosi and the Cyclopses in Washington, who see us as nothing more than ants that they can step on as they suck on candy and blow hot air out into the microphone, on and on with their litany, which is all lies about corruption and greed and power? Nothing about the truth, not one word. Every word out of their mouth while sucking on a hard candy, thinking that no one could see through this. I ask myself, don't they see the world as it is? They think that they themselves are God, I guess. I guess that's what power does to people. That's why I thank God I have no power. That's why I thank God that I'm basically an outcast. That's why I thank God that I've never been chosen for anything more than for what I've been chosen. Personally, I'm making it very personal. I want to say this to you and everyone else, and then maybe we'll move past the preachy religion part and get back to regular programming. But the thing is this. Many years ago, I went through a turmoil and doubt, and I sometimes go in and out of it. But the thing was, I found a book by a rabbi who wrote that if he believed God was omnipotent, he ceased believing immediately because it would mean he's a mean God, a punishing God. So he came to conclude that there is a God, but God is not omnipotent. God is omnipresent, but he can't control every action of every being for every second. So that gave me comfort. God is not omnipotent. He doesn't control whether you go out and pick your nose or not. He didn't say, put your finger and pick your nose. I'm sorry to make it so down to earth. God didn't tell Philip Seymour Hoffman to put a needle in his arm. Okay? God did not strike a kid dead in a crosswalk. God did not take that Christian school bus coming back from an outing and have it fall off a road and have a bunch of kids killed who came back from a Christian camp. It happened. It's chance. Now, so you have to understand that. I mean, many of you don't want to believe it. I understand that. I get it. I used to watch fighting, boxing matches as a kid. My father liked fights. I used to watch them. And I used to wonder, just before the fight, the fighter would get on his knees and make the cross. In the other corner, I'd look over. There's the other fighter making a cross, praying to the same God. The one in one corner said, I hope that I can beat the heck out of the other guy and knock him out. In the other corner, the other one was saying, God, let me beat the other guy up and knock him out. So I said, wait a minute, how does God figure this out? I mean, they're both praying to the same God. How does that work? I never understood that. But the issue is, if it gives a man faith to fight, if it gives a man faith to go on, it's good. And as my mother said to me, when I doubted when I was young, she said, everyone has to believe in something. So when I think about it, you know, you say an atheist who doesn't believe in anything, I realized eventually they believe in nothing. They don't believe in anything, which is a belief. They say, oh, no, I firmly believe that there's nothing to believe in. Well, then they have a belief, which is in unbelieving. So you have to have something to organize your thinking or you go crazy. Then you have to put a needle in your arm, which brings us right back to that again. The whole issue of the drug epidemic in America is a direct result of loss of faith. And the only thing that could save America is a resurgence of a belief in God and that God loves us and God loves America. Otherwise, this country is ruined. There's nothing else that can save us. Nothing. I'll give you another little tiny story. We're getting off onto a tangent, which I love because it makes me feel better, and it must make you feel better to listen, because anyone could talk about the other subjects. I do this. This is what I do. I have a little orchard somewhere near the San Francisco area. I drove to this teeny orchard. It's less than an acre. There's only a few trees on it that produce. And one of them, even though it's the winter, produced mandarin oranges, beautiful little red oranges. So in years past, the oranges were too bitter. They were not edible, really. Well, this year, I saw them. They were in bloom. They were in fruit, rather. So I was up there with a nice person who happens to be from El Salvador and my dog. And I started to pick these little mandarins, and I was giving them to her and putting them in my pocket. And all of a sudden, there was little Teddy, and he appeared out of nowhere. And take a guess. You want to hear about cute? This little 10-pound dog saw us gathering the oranges and putting them in our pocket. As we left, she started to laugh, and she said, look, 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 Teddy, look, Teddy. Teddy picked up one of the little oranges in his mouth and carried it back into the house so proudly. He wanted to help. Tell me what that means to you. Doesn't that give you belief and faith and beauty? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So here we are, actor worship. Philip Seymour Hoffman was a junkie. Selfish, put the needle and the drugs above his children, and we're supposed to turn him into a victim. What is an actor? The word means faker. And if you look up the word actor in Skeet's Concise Etymological Dictionary of the English Language, a book I've treasured for about 40 years, $26.50 I paid for it in 1984, let us see what Harvey Weinstein's fortune has been made from. Abbott, Abyss, Abess, Abbey. Why is there no actor in here? Accident, addict. Oh, it's next to addict? Actor is next to addict? I'm really looking for the word actor in here. I can't find it. You know it's not in this etymological dictionary? Act is the only... The closest thing I can find in it is act. From the Latin actus. Actus. To do, to drive. So that's an act. That's different than actor. I'm getting hung up on a word right now. It's like an intelligence test that I should move on, right? So I always... Remember in the old days when you took an intelligence test, the teacher said, now look, there's 1,000 questions. Don't get hung up at any one question. If you can't answer it, move on. So if you were like a little psycho or a little ADD, you hit one question you couldn't answer. It's like you sat looking at the word tap dance for an hour and you got it like a 14 IQ and you wound up in the garment district or in Hollywood. Either you were selling ties or working for Harvey Weinstein. It's Friday, February 7th, 2014. Welcome to the end of hour number three of the Savage Nation. Here are the headlines on michaelsavage.com, home of borders, language, and culture. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America, as many of you are doing every day. The biggest story of the day is that even the FBI agents themselves are revolting against Eric Holder's radicalism. They cannot accept or digest the anti-law enforcement slop being served by this radical Eric Holder and Barack Obama. First, it was the Justice Department's career prosecutors revolting. Now it's FBI agents themselves. The federal employees responsible for fighting crime are unable to digest the anti-law enforcement slop thrown at them by their boss, Eric Holder. What are they angry about? What are they angry about? They put a lawyer who defended cop killer Mumia Abu-Jamal as head of the Attorney Generalship for the Civil Rights Division. It's not that this lawyer, Adi Gabeel, defended Abu Jamal. Are you ready for this? The problem, as Bill Otis explains, is that Adi Gabeel led a street campaign to denounce the policeman that Abu Jamal, the black radical, killed as he lay in the street begging for his life. Abu Jamal shot him in the face, and this lawyer defended him. And take a guess what else? He attacked the cop, and he called the police in this country an occupying fascist army. According to the FBI Agents Association, they are opposed to this Adjabil's nomination. But VP Biden, Attorney General Holder, and all the Democrats on the committee, whose names I will now read, supported him. The worst of them all is Leahy, the absolute worst vermin of them all, the most anti-cop of them all. Leahy, Feinstein, Schumer, Durbin, Whitehouse, Klobuchar, Franken, Coons, Delaware, Blumenthal, Connecticut, and Hirano, Hawaii, said yes, yes, yes to the cop killing Abu Jamal's lawyer to be in the U.S. Justice Department. Their views, the views of the FBI, are falling on deaf ears. The Democrats have all lined up with the anti-police attorney general. I'm going to ask you a question on the show today. Can anyone in law enforcement in this country ever vote for a Democrat again, knowing how anti-police this administration is? How can you take it? How can any cop in this country, his wife or his children, ever vote for anybody who's a Democrat again? When will this stop? When will it stop? The rank-and-file FBI agents, like military personnel, are career law enforcement officers, and they do their duty regardless of the identity of the president and the attorney general, and they remain quiet about politics. But apparently this case is a bridge too far, and they finally said enough is enough. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in the midst of a revolution in this country, only you don't know it because Bill O'Reilly told you he was just a nice guy with a different viewpoint. This is the Savage Nation. Here comes the train. I hear it coming in. And I recommend you go to the bookstore and check out Train Tracks, my semi-autobiography. It is the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Savage. If talk radio came with a warning label, listen before it does. On the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.